The following is a lecture entitled How to Attain Pure Devotional Service, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on May 6th, 2016, in Riga, Latvia.
So tonight we are going to discuss about the most wonderful of all topics.
Un šodien mēs apspriedīsim visbrīnišķīgāko no visām tēmām.
The supreme topic.
Visaugstāko tēmu.
How to attain pure devotional service.
Kā sasniegt tīru garīgo kalpošanu.
For this purpose we will study Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 text number 16.
Un lai to izdarītu, mēs studēsim Bhagavad Gītas 7. Nodaļas 16. Pantu.
Repeat after me.
Atkārtojiet pēc manis.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Janasukrite narjuna
Janasukrite narjuna
Artho jagyasur artarti
Artho jagyasur artarti
Gyani chabaratarshabha
Chabaratarshabha.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport. Unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called Sukritina, or those who obey the rules and regulations of the scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men: those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord to devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 defines pure devotion thus: Anya bilashita shunyam ganakarmandana vritam anukuyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. C.C. Maja 19.167. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at that time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, They sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruit of activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. So there is indeed nothing more wonderful than pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. But by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is now available for everyone. Anyone who wants to become the pure devotee can become a pure devotee. It is a very powerful position. Krishna is called Ajita, or one who cannot be conquered. But he becomes Jita or conquered by his pure devotee. The supreme, all-powerful personality of Godhead, by whose energy everything is going on, who is controlling absolutely everything. Becomes controlled by his devotee's love. Just as baby Krishna was fearful of Mother Yashoda's whipping stick. You become the pure devotee, Krishna will subordinate himself to you. Prabhupada explains here in his purport, the way to become the pure devotee is by the association of the pure devotee. ISKCON is the most fortunate institution in the whole universe. Because it's founded by a completely pure devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada.
Jo to ir nodibinājis pilnībā tīrākais Dieva kalps Šīla Prabhupāda.
So by becoming a member of ISKCON,
un tamdēļ kļūstot par ISKCON biedru,
associating with ISKCON,
biedrojoties ar ISKCON,
serving ISKCON,
kalpojot tam,
you are getting the blessings of the greatest pure devotee, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupāda.
Jūs iegūstat vislielākā
ISKCON is based on the principle of pure bhakti. It is not based on asking God for this thing and that thing. Actually, those who approach God for material desires can easily reject God also. Just like Prabhupada gives that story, the communists, they went to the church and they asked all the people, the Christians, they have this prayer, please give us our daily bread.
Un jautāju visiem tur esošajiem cilvēkiem, kuriem ir šī, zinām, šī lūkšana, konkludz mūsu dienšķam aizdod mums šodien.
So they tell the people, now you all get down on your knees and pray, please give us our daily bread.
Nohatāties ceļos un lūdzat pēc dienšķās maizes.
And then they said, well, where is the bread? You asked for the bread, where is it?
Un tad viņi jautāja, jūs esat lūguši, bet kur ir jūsu maize?
And there is no bread.
No.
Now you say, my dear communist comrade, please give us our bread.
Un tagad, Lūdzu, tagad sakiet, mans darbais, komunistu biedri, dod man maizi.
And then on signal, the bread trucks drove up to the church and they handed everybody a loaf of bread.
Un pēc signāla pie šī baznīcas piebrauc kravas mašīna pilna ar maizi un sāk to izdalīt cilvēkiem.
Now, to whom will you pray, to God or to your communist comrade?
Un ko jūs tagad lūksiet? Dievu vai savus biedrus komunistus?
So people became atheistic.
Tādā veidā cilvēki ir ateistiski.
They are more interested in bread than they were in God, you see.
Jo viņi vairāk bija interesēt maizē, nevis Dievā.
Of course, they did not have the intelligence. Where do you get the bread, rascal?
Protams, tie trūk saprāta pajautāt. No kurienes tu pats?
Did you manufacture it in your factory?
Vai tu to izgatavoji savā rūpnīcā? No, izgatavoji savā rūpnīcā?
No, it is the gift of God. But the people do not have enough intelligence to realize that. The pure devotee, he's not interested in bread or money or fame or power or prestige. He has one desire and one desire only. He simply wants to please God, that's all. He doesn't need any material facility to do that. We see pure devotees who are very, very rich. Multi-millionaires like Ambarish Maharaj. We see devotees who are complete paupers. Like Kolavecha Shridhar. He earned his livelihood by selling he took the leaves and made cups out of the leaves. He was so poor that at night in ecstasy of love of God, and the people thought that he was crying out of hunger. So a pure devotee can be rich, he can be poor, it doesn't matter to him. It's just something out there in the external energy that's on. Actually, he's the wealthiest of all people in the whole universe. Because he's directly associating with Krishna at every minute. So the burning question is, well, how can us neophytes who are so full of material desires, how can we then get to that realm known as pure devotional service?
Un tad ļoti svarīgs jautājums ir, kā mēs iesācēji, kur ir pilna materiālajām vēlmēm, kā mēs varam nokļūt šajā neatkarīgās kalpošanas.
Here I am a neophyte devotee, I'm lusty,
esam iesācējis bakti manī,
I'm angry,
dusmas manī,
I'm greedy,
alkatība,
I'm crazy,
trakums,
I'm lazy, I'm envious, I'm scared, I got all this dirt in my heart. How can I come to pure devotional service? That's the most important question one should ask. How can a struggling neophyte become a Shuddha Bhakta, a pure devotee of Krishna?
Kā iesācēt bakta, kurš cīnās, var nokļūt par šutka baktu, ir par tīru dievkumu kalpu?
It's very simple. You simply have to do three things.
Un tas ir ļoti vienkārši. Jums tikai jāveic trīs lietas.
Take shelter of the pure devotee.
Mums ir jāpieņem tīru baktas patvērums.
Get initiated by the pure devotee. And be fully obedient to the pure devotee. In this way, the magic happens. You develop a higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara Vashavarsang Rishopyasva Parang Vishvani Vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. He is fixed in his consciousness. So that's the key. You gotta get a higher taste. So where is that taste most easily accessible? Nama, the holy name. That's why we have kirtan. That's why we do japa. You gotta develop a taste for Krishna's name. Because when you develop that taste for Krishna's name, all the lower tastes, they just fade away into oblivion. We gave a seminar on that last night. Syat Krishna nama saditari sitapya vidya pato patapta rasana shana rochi kanu kint vadadananu nidankala shaiva jushra samit kabadi bhulak kadamula hantri. The holy name, character, form and pastimes of Krishna.
Krishna's svētais vārds, raksturs
are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet. It is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Someone could say, well, what is it? It's just a sound vibration, you know. I can chant Mary had a little lamb or row, row, row your boat. What's the difference? But no, this is Shabda Brahma. It's not mundane. Nama avatar. Krishna has come in the form of his name. When you vibrate Krishna with faith and love, the Supreme Personality of God himself is dancing on your tongue. Tunde, Tunde, see, Tunde, how's that verse go? Tunde tandavaning vitnate tindavali lamni karna krode gadamani gatiyate kunebris praise basvaham cheta pangana sangani vijay sarvindriyanam kritim no jani janita kriyadbir amritai krishnate varnadvai. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, Krishna is personally dancing on my tongue. He's oozing out so much nectar. that my one little mouth just can't hold all of it. I need millions of mouths to capture that nectar. And when the sound vibration Krishna enters the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture those oceans and oceans of nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, I'm completely captivated and stunned by the ecstasy of Krishna's Nama incarnation. This is the experience of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. And we can also experience that. So right now, we don't experience that. We chant Hare Krishna and we fall asleep during our japa. Or we go to the Bhagavad Gita lecture and we fall asleep in the Gita lecture. Because we're not getting the taste. So how do you get to that point where you can actually realize the taste? There's devotional service in ecstasy and there's devotional service in practice. One is called sadhana bhakti and the other is shuddha bhakti. So you have to go through devotional service and practice. That's why you need a spiritual master. He's your tutor. He guides you how to go from sadhana bhakti to shuddha bhakti.
Kurš ved jūs no sādana bhakti un šutka bhakti stāvokļa.
You have to follow his instructions. Sometimes he may correct you also. You're doing it wrong. Your attitude is not right.
Un dažreiz viņš var jūs palabot. Jūs attieksmē nav pareizi. Jūs kaut ko darat nepareizi.
So the spiritual master guides you how to come to the platform of pure devotional service.
Un tādēļ garīgais skolotājs viņš ir tas, kurš vada jūs šajā garīgās kalpošanas ceļā.
And that's the key. You have to take shelter, get initiated, and then be fully obedient to your spiritual master.
And he will bring
you across that dangerous ocean of Kali to the transcendental realm of pure devotional service. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Use your time.
Yes.
Please explain, what is the meaning of the definition to serve Krishna?
What is it, Krishna?
Meaning of the definition of to serve Krishna.
What is the definition of serving Krishna?
The deeper meaning.
The deeper meaning of serving Krishna. It means to come back to your original nature.
Atgriezties pie jūsu sākotnējā dabiskā stāvokļa.
Your hand naturally serves your whole body.
Jūsu roka dabiskā veidā kalpo visam ķermenim.
But if it's broken, you break your hand, then it can't serve the whole body.
Bet ja tā ir salauzta, tā nevar vairs kalpot ķermenim pilnvērtīgi.
So you go to a doctor and he gives you a program for healing your hand. And once your hand is healed, then it naturally serves the whole body once again. So pure devotional service means to come back to your original natural position.
How we come back?
By, just like how do you, if you break your hand, they put it in a cast. to hold it in the right position until the bones heal. So we put you in a cast. That you do all the right things and you avoid all the wrong
things.
You chant Hare Krishna. You only eat prasadam, you bow down. No illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication. Okay? We're just putting you in a caste to hold you in the right position. Until you finally heal, then we can take off the caste, and then you're just spontaneously doing pure bhakti once again. Next.
Kad tiek izsāks no skolas un izīgi varbūrīgais skolotājs atlaikties no skolnieka, un ja nē, tad es nozīmēju, ka es ļoti šādams, vai automātiski pēc kaut kādu laiku tas skolnieks nonāk, to sasniegs to pilnību. Un tas nozīmē, tas izpārš tādā veidā, ka ja viņš nesniec tajā konkrētā dzīvē, tad viņš atzīmst, un tikai tur nākamā dzīve viņš pieņem dikšu ceremoniju.
The question contains two parts. First part is related to the morning lecture, when you mentioned that this is like higher education. There's a certain standard of the higher education. So what if one cannot maintain or reach that higher standard? This is the first part of the question.
Right. Then you can remain on a low standard, and then your and next life, hopefully, you can go to the higher standard.
Yes, important addition. What happens to the person if he is already initiated?
And he's putting his guru into difficulty. Prabhupada explains if the devotee takes birth again, the spiritual master also has to take birth again. So do not put your Guru Maharaj into difficulty. Every disciple should think, I have to get. I don't want to put my Guru Maharaj in any difficulty or force him to take breath again. I'm going to become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Every disciple should be determined.
So, in this analogy with the high school, then if you cannot maintain that level, you are just thrown out of that high school. It means that here.
No, we don't throw you out. We keep you in the school, even if you're a rascal. Prabhupada is compassionate. Prabhupada is very, very compassionate.
Should we take advantage of the compassion and remain on the lower
level?
That's only for fools. Those who are intelligent take advantage of the opportunity to become a pure devotee and they go for it with great enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a word in your language also?
Yes.
Oh, what language? Is this Latvian or Russian?
It's international.
International language. Okay. Okay, next question.
Not just,
The word enthusiasm is very good, you know. The direct word I got from Prabhupada, always be continue enthusiastically as you're doing. So I'm trying my best. Next question. The women don't have any questions.
Question here.
Elegant.
Dzirdējums ir saistīts ar džapas skaitīšanu, ar sadāvot atpakāpošanu. Vai to var uzskatīt par saldību, un ja jā, tad kādā veidā uz to skatīties, jo es konkrēti es skaitu ar džapu reizi, un es domāju par to, ka tik ļoti tajā brīdī negribas, bet tomēr es turpinu skaitīt ar domu, ka šī skaitīšana man nesīs kādu labumu, kaut vai tādā ziņā, ka labumu spēku skaitīt tālāk un iegūt kādas augstākas zināšanas, ir spēju pildīt norādījumus. Vai tā ir pozitīva sautība, vai kā ir šo šim domājumu? Sevi piespiest darīt, it kā sautīgi iemesli pēc turpināt skaitīt džā.
The question is about chanting the japa. And the selfishness involved in the process. When I chant japa, I feel that I don't want to do it. It's too hard for me. But I get strength from this selfish idea that maybe I will get some kind of benefit, which will maybe help me chant this japa or some other bonuses I will get. And in that manner, I motivate myself.
That's very good. That's called intelligence. I don't get any taste, but I know that if I keep chanting, the taste will come eventually, so I keep chanting.
Man nav garšas, bet es zinu, kad atnāks, ja es turpināšu skaitīt, tad es turpinu skaitīt.
So you're a smart man.
Tāpēc jūs esat saprātīgs cilvēks.
Continue to act on your intelligence.
Turpināt rīkoties savu saprātu labīt.
Next. Anybody from the internet? There's so many devotees now. We have 22 people on the internet. Some of them must have a question. Here we go. Lila Manjari from India. The experience of Srila Rupa Goswami, that is explained, is that state always there and a neophyte doesn't experience it, or is it that state comes when one is a pure devotee?
Vai šis stāvoklis, par kuru šī rūpa, kas mani izskaidro, vai tas vienmēr pastāv, neofīts to tikai nevar tā kā...
What she's asking is, does the name have that much nectar for a neophyte or only for the pure devotee?
Jā, tātad jautājuma būtība ir tajā, vai šis vārds satur šo visu savu saldumi arī priekš neofīta vai tikai priekš tīri baktas?
The answer is, the nectar is there, whether you're a neophyte or whether you're a pure devotee. That nectar of millions of oceans of amrit or nectar is there for everyone. The neophyte just doesn't experience because he's too dull, that's so.
Atvilda ir tāda, ka svētais vārds pilnībā satur sevi šo visu spēju pilnā apmērā gan priekš iesācēju, gan priekš. Pieredzējuši baktas atšķirība ir tikai tajā, ka iesācējis ir pārāk trūk, lai to spētu uztvert.
Then the rain, the nectar rain is falling, but he has a big umbrella to keep himself dry, is it?
Šī nektāra lietas līst, vienkārši iesācējis ir pacēlis tādu kā lietas sargu, un lai paliktu savus.
It's an umbrella made out of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy.
Un šis lietas sargs sastāv no iekāres, no trakuma, no skaudības, un citām nevēlām.
Because of these anartas, he's blocking himself from tasting the unlimited nectar of the name.
Un ar šīm anartām viņš bloķē sevi spējas sajust svētā vārda nektāra.
So you gotta throw away the umbrella.
Tāpēc vienkārši ir jāizdīt protiek lietas.
Mr. Lust, get out. Mr. Greed, go away. Mr. Anger, I'm through with you. And this envy, get out of here. Never come back again.
Vienkārši ir jāpadzēt viss šīs nevēlamās īpašības.
You gotta get rid of the anartas.
Ir jāatbrīvojas no šīm anartām.
You gotta become cool-headed.
Ir jākļūst ar tām skaidru vēsu galvu cilvēku.
It can't be offensive towards Vaishnavas, that's the biggie.
Un galvenā lieta nedrīkst būt apvainojošā noskaņā par citiem Vaishnaviem.
Because your relationship with Vaishnavas is going to be the same as your relationship with Krishna. You can't distinguish or separate them. Whatever kind of attitude you have towards devotees, that's the attitude you'll have towards Krishna. So you have to cultivate a very first-class loving relationship with Vaishnavas. That will translate into a taste for the name and loving feelings for Krishna. That's why ISKCON is the greatest opportunity for spiritual advancement. Because we get to associate with so many different types of devotees. Some of them have personalities that match my personality, and some have personalities that don't match my personality. I have to learn how to lovingly reciprocate with all of them. But it is stated, if a Vaishnava is very offensive, you avoid his association. That's how you love him, by avoiding him. He's very offensive. Any other questions? Yeah. Is Tim?
What to do is sometimes, and the instructions of the local authorities are a little bit different from this. The instruction of spiritual master.
For example,
the spiritual master might say that you have to take it very seriously and be strong on yourself and do straight away everything that we say. And somebody from the local authority might say, oh, it's okay, don't rush, don't hurry, be careful, step by step, step by step.
Then do both. Follow the local authority and the spiritual master, but with the difficulty. Do both. So the guru is saying you must be very strong in Krishna consciousness and try to become a pure devotee as soon as possible. Local authority says it's okay to be in Maya, you can just gradually become a pure devotee. Well, you can say, well, thank you very much, my dear local authority, for making me feel good about my present position, and I appreciate your encouragement. Thank you very much. I'm glad that you appreciate me even in my impure state. My Guru Maharaj also appreciates me in my impure state. But he will appreciate me more when I become a pure devotee. And I'm sure that you will also appreciate me more when I become a pure devotee. So to please you and my Guru Maharaj, I'm going to focus on becoming a pure devotee as soon as possible. Is that all right? Next question.
Kāda diemas un pēc vēl joprojām neatkārto mantru. Viņa vārdā.
So is it ethical or acceptable if after I have finished my 16 rounds, I ask Krishna, can he accept another extra round, which I try to chant for another person?
Yeah. Why don't you chant all your rounds for every living entity in the whole universe to begin with? Why only one person? Why are you limiting your outreach? Why don't you chant for the deliverance of every living entity in the entire material existence with your every being? Why are you being so small-minded? Don't you know the prayer given in the Bhagavatam? Svastayastu vashvashakalabrasidatam dayantabhutani shivang madhodaya manasta bhajang bhujatam madokshave naveshutam no matarapya haitaki. May there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons become pacified. Let everyone become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. Because by engaging in devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence. Lord Shri Krishna. And always remain absorbed in thoughts of him. I personally chant that mantra again and again and again. Practically every day I say that mantra, praying for the deliverance of all living entities throughout the whole universe. So you can think about that person you want to be delivered, that's very good. But why not pray for everyone's deliverance, including that person? You see? That's expanding the idea to the greatest extent. It's a good idea, but why not expand it to include every living entity who's suffering in the material world? Okay, let's see here. Rabindra Das, my Brahmachari from London. Now, Srila Gurudev, is it correct to say that the inquisitive stage is a type of spiritual apathy requiring a determined effort to reach pure devotion? Being inquisitive is not apathetic. My translator is struggling, just wait. You know what apathy means?
Can you rephrase the question?
All right, let's try again. The question is this. Is it correct to say that the inquisitive stage is this type of spiritual apathy requiring a determined effort to reach pure devotion?
Vai pareizi apgalvot, ka stāvoklis, ka cilvēks ir tāds jautājošs, izzinot vēl, viņš vēl izzinās, ka tā ir garīga veida apātija.
To be inquisitive is not apathetic.
Būt tādā izzinošā, noskaņojumā, tā nav garīga apātija.
Krishna orders you to be inquisitive.
Krishna patiesībā mums pavēl būt tādēļ, ka vēl izzināt visu.
Tadvedīpanipatena padipašnēna sēvajā upadekshanti te jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you. Because they have seen the truth. So to be inquisitive means you are being surrendered to Krishna. He has ordered you to inquire.
jo viņš jums ir pavēlējis.
However, if you only inquire and you never do anything,
tomēr, ja jūs tikai turpināt jautāt un neko nedarat, lietas labā,
that is not good.
Tas gan nav labi.
I have one student, you want to call him them, on the internet. One gentleman in Delhi, India.
No, India, Delhi.
He's always, for years, he's asking questions. But he never comes to hear one of my lectures, even though I'm in Delhi. He never chants japa. He never does anything. He just keeps asking questions. What is the difference between Krishna and Ram? You know, he doesn't ask questions that how to surrender to Krishna, just like curiosity. In the beginning, it's okay. But you have to reach a point where you actually try to, you know, give up your independence and be surrendered to the spiritual master. You have to come to that point.
This
has been going on for years and years. Finally, I told him, if you want to ask a question, you come to attend my lecture and ask a question. No more internet questions. And now he's trying to convince me to still answer questions without him coming to my lecture. So there is such a thing of being inquisitive and never wanting to surrender, which is not good. But inquiring for the purpose of how to get out of Maya and become fully surrendered, that sort of inquiry should be going on, ongoing.
But ja jūs uzdod jautājumus, lai izrautos no Majas važām, tad tā ir lieta, kas jums ir jāturpin darīt.
Now a question from my disciple in New Delhi, Guruvandana Devi Dasi. Is Rupa Goswami explaining about the stage of Samadhi? Is that prayer, but he talks about the nectar of the Holy Name, is that the stage of Samadhi? Absolutely. Samadhi means ecstatic absorption in trance. So when one is tasting that kind of nectar of the name, he's definitely in a state of samadhi. Next question. Gurudev.
Gurudev, it's not a question, but actually it's a question back to the previous question and that works. Am I correct that Srila Prabhupada has chosen a very specific and very precise word, submissively, which is, in our local languages, translated as humbly, but submissively contains this idea with readiness to act according to instructions, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So humbly is not the full meaning.
Tas vārds submissively, ko latviski un grieviski regulāri tulko kā pazemīgi, patiesībā nenozīmē pat pazemīgi, bet submissively nozīmē uzdot jautājumus gatavībā rīkoties saskaņā ar sniegtajiem norādījumiem.
Un skolēs atdod tūlīgi noteikti par prakpādi ir ļoti pretīgi izvēlējies tieši šādu vārdu.
Submissively means eager to carry out the instructions given.
Šis vārds submissive, ko mēs saprotam kā pazemīgs, nozīmē, ka cilvēks ir dedzīgs izpildīt to, ko viņam
pateikts. It means fully surrendered to following whatever instructions are given. That's submissiveness.
Pilnībā gatavs un noderies izpildīt tos norādījumus, kuri viņam tiks pateikti.
Next question. Here's one of the Marajis over here. Yeah. Kita Mira.
Hare Krishna. Man ir tāds jautājums. Vai vispār var skandēt mantru, jo viņi ir ļoti patīkami un ar viņu kopā ir patīkami darbot kādus citus darbus, jo tad viņi ir ļoti izpalīdzīgi un noskārtot to 16 aprīs, bet darbot, piemēram, mājas darbus vai vēl kādus citus, Vai var skaitīt mantu? Vai vienkārši labāk klausīties ieraksts, vai vienlaicīt ierakstīt kopā dziedāt un darīt darbus? Vai tā nebūs vienkārši mantras izmantošana, jo viņi ir ļoti izpalīdzīgi.
My question is about situation when you have finished your daily rounds. Is it okay to chant while you are doing some homework or something?
Absolutely.
Else? Maybe it's more advisable to hear something. It's like an exploitation of the mantra, maybe.
No, let's say you've chanted 16 rounds and now you're going to wash the dishes. You can chant Hare Krishna. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yeah, you can do that, sure. Guru Mataji? Question coming in, okay. Arinta. It is said that we have to seek to deserve God's benevolence already this life. What does it mean, God's benevolence? Benevolence means mercy. That's what benevolence means, mercy, his mercy. So we have to seek to deserve God's mercy. Actually, God's mercy is already there. We're just foolishly not taking advantage of it, that's all. You don't have to. His mercy. You just have to figure out how you can take advantage of it. His mercy is already there. This Hare Krishna mantra is God's benevolence. You don't have to look for it. We're giving it to you. Here is God's benevolence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now you take it. You don't have to seek God's benevolence. We're giving it to you right now. So now you take this benevolence of God. Embrace it within your heart. And become perfect. Next question.
So, if we have something we don't understand, should we ask local authority, or is it okay every time to ask our Gurudev?
Ja mēs kaut ko nesaprotam un nezinām, vai ir labi, ja mēs to
autoritātiem,
vai katreiz ir jāvēršās pie savu...
She's very enlightened. You can ask Guru Mataji. Actually, you can inquire from anyone and everyone. We have one initiating spiritual master and we have many instructing spiritual masters. I know when I was a young brahmachari growing up in ISKCON, I would ask so many devotees, senior devotees, different questions. I asked Vishnujan Swami a question one time and he didn't know the answer, so he said, why don't you write
Prabhupada?
So you can always start with your local level and check with your local leaders and see if that satisfies you.
Protams, jūs vienmēr varat sākt ar tiem cilvēkiem, kuriem ir pieejami, un ja tas jūs vairs mums pats...
But if that doesn't satisfy you, then you can definitely write your spiritual master.
Un tad raudzīties, vai tas jūs apmierina, un ja tas neapmierina, tad jūs, protams, varat vērsties pie savu gudrīgās skolotāju.
So what you do is sometimes the instructions might be different, and that really bewilders your mind.
Well, if you have any doubt, ask your spiritual master. That's what I'm here for. Next question. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I have a daughter, she's 5, and I'm kind of the neophyte devotee. I just recently started to attend lectures and then hear and chant. How to deal with my daughter's desire to eat meat? Because if we punish her or we not allowed to eat meat at home, she will get it in kindergarten or at school. should we punish her or how to make her aware that that is bad.
So you don't have meat at home.
But she asks for it sometimes.
Take her to the zoo and show her the animals. The one who have her pet. Show him a nice, you know, beautiful. Take her to a farm and let her pet the cow. And ask her if she'd like to see the cow murdered.
You're being gone maybe too far. I have shown some videos on YouTube what happens in the farms.
Now let her see an actual cow. Take her to a farm so she can see an actual cow, how beautiful the cow is. And ask her if she'd like to see that cow murdered.
She should milk the cow.
Let her pet the cow and see how beautiful the cow is. What would you do? What would you feel like if somebody came with a gun and tried to murder this cow? Would you feel happy about that? You can ask her. Let her develop feeling affection for the cow for a few minutes, and then ask her, if somebody came to kill this cow, would you like them?
But how she eats meat at the...
In the kindergarten, they serve the meat.
In the kindergarten, the teachers give them, or how they get it?
You can ask him. I don't know. They buy it at the store.
The teachers get it again. It's like in the normal process of every day. They let me food program. And it's considered to be...
Please translation now, please, for everyone. The translation.
Cīnīties ar viņas vēlmi ēst gaļu, kur viņai tiek pasniegt, piemēram, dārziņā. Skolēs atbild, kā aizdiet viņu uz zoodārzu un parādiet viņai dzīvnieks. Mēs esam to jau darījuši un esam rādījuši viņai, kā tiek kaut un dzīvnieks. Skolēs saka, izdariet tādu piemēru, ka ļaujot viņai pieķerās kādam dzīvniekam, tur uzduriet viņai jautājumus, kā būtu, vai kāds viņu nobalot, ja to vēlētos.
Another tactic is you forbid the teachers to serve her meat.
Otra lieta, ka jūs aizliedzat viņas audzinātājiem, viņai pasniegt gaļas ēdienus.
My daughter is not allowed to eat meat, and if you feed her meat, I'm going to make a lawsuit against you.
Manai meitai ir aizliedz ēst gaļu, ja jūs uzrunāsiet arī, tas jūs iesūdzēšu.
It's a private kindergarten? Well, it's a private kindergarten.
No, it's general.
Public. You have to check with the legal authorities, but you, you know, ask the local devotees if there's anything you can do legally to stop them from feeding your daughter meat. I don't know about the laws here and the way it works with the government. That's the other way. You can I would work it from both angles. I would look into both angles. Try from both sides.
Es mēģinātu darboties abos šajos virzienos.
Okay, so don't send her to public kindergarten. Send her to private kindergarten. So you can dictate.
Yeah,
get her out of the public kindergarten. Yeah. That's why it's better we have our own schools, actually. We shouldn't. It's better not to send these kids to the slaughterhouse. We need to have our own school for the children, not these public schools. Yeah, another question? Okay. This is, which is one? Leela Manjari's question? Okay. Right, Leela Manjari, again, from India. What is meant by causeless when we read causeless devotional service and causeless mercy?
Kas tiek domāts ar vārdu bezcēloņi, kad mēs lasām tādus terminus kā bezcēloņi, žēlastība vai vienkārši bezcēloņi? Ko tas nozīmē?
Causeless mercy means you don't deserve it.
Bezcēloņi žēlastība nozīmē, ka jūs to neesat pelnījis.
But you're getting it anyway. There was no cause for it. It just causelessly comes to you by Krishna's kindness.
Bet jums tā tiek izrādīta bez jebkāda iemesla.
And devotional service also is causeless in that sense. It's the mercy of, you didn't deserve to be engaged in devotional service, just like Jagai Madai.
Un šajā nozīmē arī presāloņu tātad garīgā kalpošana.
They can, they were they Jagai smash was it Madai or Majagai? I think it was Madai who smashed him.
But
they were physically abusing Lord Nityananda. They got that causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda, and they became pure devotees. So that means there's no cause for it. It just comes without any cause. It's out of pure love. That's causeless mercy. Next question.
Can I add to the last question? How to deal with my family, which is my mother, my father, which thinks it is not normal to not eat meat, and when we go visiting them, they think we are bad parents and try to give my daughter meat. Maybe when we can see, shall we not meet my parents or avoid them?
Un kā tikoties situācijās ar vecākiem, ar savu māti un tēvu, kur uzsaka, ka mēs esam slikti vecāki, un mēģina mūsu meitai iedarot šo daļu?
I don't know your relationship with your parents, but I can suggest some things that you might try. Say, Mom and Dad, I really love you all very much. You're very dear to me. You gave me so much wonderful loving care. And I know you really want me to be happy, don't you? Do you want me to be happy or you want me not to be happy? What is it, Mom and Dad? Which is it? Can ask them, what do you want? No, son, we want you to be unhappy. They won't say that. They say, no, we want you to be happy. You say, oh, Mom and Dad, I'm so glad to hear that you want me to be happy. I really appreciate your well-wishing attitude towards me. And it really makes me happy as a vegetarian diet. So I'm sure you don't want me to be miserable. So whenever, I'll be very happy to come visit you whenever you don't harass me about my vegetarian diet. Is that all right? Ask your parents if it's okay. Because this is what makes me happy. So Mom and Dad, I just don't want to come until you're willing to be happy with my vegetarian diet. I don't want to come anymore to your house. I really want to come, but this makes me so unhappy when you harass me about my vegetarian diet. So I'm just not going to come until you're willing to be happy with my vegetarian diet. So is it okay if I stay away from home? No, don't come anymore, is it okay? No, son, you must come, you must come. We love you, son. So in other words, you have to bargain with them. They're attached to you. They don't want to give you up. They're attached to you. You have to be a little detached. That's the key. As long as you're attached, they'll manipulate you. But as soon as you saw some detachment, then you are in control. Okay, we got whoever typed a question in my internet got disconnected, so kindly type the question in again.
Sridhar is asking.
Who?
Sridhar. He says, if Krishna's mercy is causeless, then why do we attempt to obtain Krishna's mercy by chanting or other means since it's causeless and independent anyways?
Yes. It's not, the fact is, it's not that you can push a button And you know, the mercy comes. That, okay, Krishna, you have to give me your mercy now because I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Like pushing a button, like putting a coin in the machine and the mercy comes out. It's not like that. Krishna can give or not give the mercy. It's his free choice. It's always his free choice. You have to come humbly and attract his mercy. But it depends totally on Krishna. You cannot force Krishna to give his mercy. Therefore, it's always causeless.
Chanting his holy name. It's already there. Don't put up the umbrella. Chant the holy
name.
Next question.
Hare Krishna. Вратница и рекстицка вайкунтка таси Гарри Гаспаса Олскал с Куранамой как проблем. Вот и маме так проблем, Радис. Я на Джимшан, я на 30 октября, когда я был инициацией. Он, я в 77 году, маме Джимшан, я фирма Апрели, Апрели Йокс. Jum sari, jūs visu laiku bija His Grace, tagad viņa žēlastība. Pagājušreiz jūs bijat atvērt savu grāmatu, angļu valodā, es to nopirku. Bet uzdev tādu jautājumu, vai būs iespēja kādreiz citu valodu dabūt, vai latviešu, vai krievu? Es baidos, ka man 77 gadi, bet grāmatu ļoti interesanti, bet diemžēl es angliski nevaru. Hare Krishna.
In dictionary, word Vaikuntha means the person who don't have any problems. But I have one problem, and it's related with your book. It is only available in English, and unfortunately, I do not read English. So, will it be available in language that I can read?
What is your language? Russian? The Russian translation work is going on now in Kaliningrad. So, the book will be coming to you in Russian. Yes, it is being worked on right now. So our time is up, and we thank you all very much. Now take seriously to this process of Krishna consciousness and make your life successful.
Start meeting, share better.
So we're going to let start meeting come on again so I can...
Hare Krishna. Welcome to the wonderful world of Krishna consciousness, the dimension of eternity, knowledge and bliss.
There are 11 participants in this conference. All callers are muted.
So we thank all the internet attendees. I apologize for there was a technological problem there for a few minutes. We are ending the class now, but we thank you all very, very much for your participation via the internet. And so we'll be back again tomorrow morning for Bhagavatam class. Pure devotional service, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
His Grace Srimad Sankarshan Dasari ki jai.